This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let A show you how.
Get it on. Get to get it on. The judgment. Get it on, Mindy. Get it on. Welcome to Ace on the House. I'm Ace Corolla. That's Eric Stromer over there.
Mandate.
Got some hot tile talk coming your way, along with just fresh off of programming my Crestron system.
What?
Crestron.
How dare you? That's so futuristic. What is it?
I don't know if it's Crestron or Crestron.
Is it French?
I think it's Crestron.
Ooh, that's even better.
Yeah.
What does it do, this thing?
There's the promise of the flat screen. It's basically like a tablet that's on your wall.
Oh, it's the brain of the house, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, here's how it goes.
Yeah.
Crestron. You go, you want to talk to your jacuzzi? You want to turn the hall lights on? You want music flowing throughout the house? You just push the buttons. And then at some
whole
point,
house
you go,
control.
I'm going to heat up my jacuzzi. And then you hit the jacuzzi button, and it says, it's 58 degrees now. And you go, good, set it for 109.
Because daddy's going to jacuzzi.
That's right. Then you come back 45 minutes later, and it's 58 degrees.
Wow.
And you go, well, why isn't it working? And then they go, it should work. And then that's as far as you get with it. Then you have to walk out and climb down the hill and try to turn the jacuzzi on.
Manually.
That's how everything works. You want to turn the jacuzzi on with your phone? Yeah, you just sit there and go ahead and turn that jacuzzi on. Just use your phone. Just use the app. And you go, okay. And then you call the guy and you go, it doesn't work. And he goes, well, that's because they put the pickup antenna too far from your den. I go, okay. Oh, sorry. You know what? I'm going to beat this shit out of my wife because this is all on her. Who put the antenna there? We did. Okay. Yeah, it's not talking to your phone because it's too far away. Okay, so it'll go from you just use your smartphone and turn on your jacuzzi to you put a flashlight in your mouth when it's raining and go out with the equipment and turn it on manually.
Right.
That's how.
We thought you'd want to look at your yard while you were turning on your jacuzzi.
Literally in amongst the shrubs, right. In amongst the cobwebs, in the mud. On the other side of the retaining wall, there's the Ace Man with the flashlight in his mouth trying to turn the jacuzzi on when you open the hatch and it's got all the spider webs there. That went from, you want to just use your phone. You don't have to be at home. Let's say you're at work and you want that jacuzzi nice and steamy when you get home.
Yeah.
Just hit it on your, right. Okay. Except for I'll be crawling in the mud trying to turn it on by hand.
But it'll help with the hypothermia from crawling through the rain.
So insane. Like, it works.
Doesn't it feel like it's not, it's all not quite there yet?
Okay.
It's not quite there yet.
First off,
all the
no
tablet shit.
Such thing as a goddamn timer that works.
No.
There's no like, oh, well, what time would you like your outdoor lighting to go on? I don't know. Does it get dark? 7 o'clock?
Is it
8 o'clock? I haven't come on at 8. Okay. What time would you like it off?
Yeah.
Sun comes up at, I don't know, 5, 6 in the morning. How about it goes on at 8 at night until it goes off at 6 in the morning when the sun comes up?
That
so
sounds
just
good.
Be on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then next day, you'll just walk out at noon. The light's on. It'll be off all night.
Yeah.
That's how everything works.
I agree.
When I bought my new house, the only way you could ever discover this is because I threw myself in the pool every single morning. That's my move.
Right.
And as I was swimming underwater from one end to the other, as I do in the frosty, misty cold.
Because you're sort of Aquaman, aren't you?
I noticed, the super lean,
sinewy, just
sinewy,
like a fish-like body that can just glide.
I started noticing that the pool lights were on at, 8 in the morning.
Right.
And then I realized, they're on from 8 in the morning till like 6 in the evening. They literally are on during the daylight hours and never on at night.
Yeah.
And you would never notice that they were on unless you were stupid enough to swim in the swimming pool in December.
That's
but
correct.
I noticed them. And of course, the timer screwed up.
Sure.
I get it. The timer screwed up. Why? Why are they going on at 8 in the morning, going off at 6? Do you know how much electricity is wasted with just horrible timers?
Yes, horrible timers and owners and programmers that don't know how to do it or can't figure it out.
So I was
It's the promise of the future is what they're selling you.
I just had this conversation with AV Ed where he I'm very ergonomic.
Yeah.
I'm ergonomic. Yeah.
You just want to not reach far to get things. You know, you want to design it around
stuff
your body.
Designed right. Yeah, yeah. I want to thank today's sponsors, by the way, Tommy John / Adam Danner.com, Geico.com, and Scott's Turf Builder. I'll let you do your Tommy John. Then I'll tell you about what I just did. Gary, if you grab my phone, you can probably see a text that Ed just sent me with the Crestron.
Crestron!
Mm-hmm.
Men and women love Tommy John. Scott's happy his double agents aren't going rogue. Melissa's TJs are so light, she worries she'll forget to pull them down in the bathroom. Both men's and women's underwear sport a no-wedgie guarantee. Comfortable, stay-put waistbands and fabrics that are soft and designed to move with you. Right? You got them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You got them. You even swim in them, don't you?
I do if the fellas are working in the backyard.
That's right.
If not, then I'll go above-o!
Wow! Aquaman.
No, I'm wearing Tommy John t-shirt.
Holy
man. And
it's
Tommy
like
John
a whole
underpants.
Suite. It's a suite of undergarments.
That's right.
Dress shirts and undershirts that always stay tucked. Go anywhere apparel goes from boardroom to boxing class. New air collection for ladies, quick drying, antimicrobial fabric, no visible panty line guarantee. That means you can't see it in the pants, ladies. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, so go ahead. AV Ed.
So he was over today.
Yeah.
And I said to him, hey, man, the Crestron, it's the way it works. And I'll show you a picture of it.
Did AV Ed present this to you conceptually, or it has to integrate with AV Ed's TV and hi-fi stuff?
He's doing a fantastic job getting everything to talk to one another, but here's my deal.
Yeah. Did this already exist when you bought your house?
No.
Gary, Crestron's from the future,
it's
duh.
From the future. Right.
I'm vexed that he would put something like this into his home. It seems like he's asking for trouble.
This works. It will work. It just takes a long time to get it to work.
It looks like the Enterprise, doesn't it? It looks like the Enterprise module where Kirk turns on the sexy room.
Look, when it works, it's awesome. And it works with music, and it works with the heating system, it's a work in progress. But here was my thing.
Yeah.
I said to AV Ed, AV Ed, there's only two colors on this board. Now, you're looking at multiple colors, but he changed it. I said, you have white and you have yellow.
For the digital readouts, you mean?
Yeah, and yellow means on and white means off. Okay. And I said, all right, so let's just turn it to the pool spa mode. I'm turning the heat on the jacuzzi. It turns yellow when it's on and white when it's off. I said, why wouldn't it be red when you turn the heat on the jacuzzi? There's no big differentiation between white and yellow. You can learn it, but when it comes to heating and cooling, why is it white and yellow? Why isn't it red for heat and blue for air?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And he's like, because this is how we do it, you know? And I'm like, well, you have a car, right? Yeah. I have a car, yeah. When you turn the heat up,
it's red.
Red.
Yeah.
And when
it's
you turn
universal.
The air on, it's blue.
Yeah.
And he's like, we can put it any color we want to put it. And then I said, well, then put it those colors. And he went, okay. And I was like, yes, okay. Why not?
So he's never done it with all his Crestron installations.
He has
the first time.
He has a guy who does it.
I see.
But Gary, you tell me if I'm a weirdo here. I'm like, and here's why everyone hates my guts. I didn't stop. when they're kind of laughing me off, I stop and I go, seriously, just do this with your, for the rest of your customers. Do it for the rest of your customers. White and yellow don't mean anything.
You're a weirdo for a lot of reasons. This is not one of them. White and yellow is an absurd. If you went with a, you know, I don't know. There are colors I will accept.
Well,
white
well
and yellow.
Yellow seems like a caution color to me.
No.
Right or no?
Black and white, I can make an argument for, I guess, maybe. But yellow is a weird color to use, unless you're using it
and
for like a medium.
Also, to denote it's on.
Yeah, that's
something
dumb.
Like the spa heater's on, yellow.
No.
That doesn't
dumb.
Make sense
no,
to me.
You have
and
to
then they go,
everything.
We can do whatever colors we want. I'm like, yeah. Well, then do colors that make sense.
I would do green on.
Yeah, or do green on and red off.
That's
or,
what
or
I would
something,
do.
Some version of that. White and yellow are essentially you stare at it for a while and go, is that on or is that off? Because white and yellow don't click in your brain. But certainly for the HVAC system or the pool heater or spa heater, make it red.
This,
like every other facet of society, always, all the time.
This Crestron unit reminds me of HAL from 2001. It will take over your house and kill you ultimately.
I lay every night I go to bed and I pray not
I'm
to
afraid,
wake up.
I'm afraid.
I'm
of
not
this
afraid.
Unit.
I hope that I want it to be my overlord. I want to do its bidding. All I'm saying is
kill. The girl must die, and you'll just walk out with a dagger, just stabbing into the air.
It gives me a weird look, like I'm some kind of...
I don't trust it.
I'm some sort of weird outlier for this, and I'm like, not only do I want it this way, everybody who has this system wants red for heating and blue for cooling in the HVAC department. And if your guy can do it any color, and Ed just changed it over the phone. Like he had this guy just do it like boom, bap. I was like, then just do it that color.
Is yellow and white or yellow and white? Is that what you had?
Yes.
Is that the company's default? That sounds like that does not seem like that would be the default. That seems like something his guy set that way or something. I'd be interested to know if that's how it comes.
Well, we can talk to AV Ed,
that's
but
weird.
The red with the heat and the blue with the cool
that's
is
good.
Wildly more satisfying
that's
than
good.
White and yellow.
Yeah.
And when you're turning your heat on and you're turning it on to yellow, it means nothing in your weird reptilian brain.
No.
Now, I'm not saying what I'm saying to AV Ed is not that I can't learn this.
Yeah, but why?
I'm saying why? Why not just make it red? Your car, my car, his car, her car. You want the heat on? It's red. You want the air on? It's blue. What? That's how we're set. Every single automotive manufacturer is aware of that. Simply put it into your system.
Can you override this Crestron and just turn the fucking heat on from some thermostat?
I don't know. It's working good. I love AV Ed. I'm curious about these parts of life. That's all.
I really want to know if that sounds like a choice someone made. I can't imagine that this company, Crestron, sets their stuff that way default if it has every color.
And Crestron has its own monitor, or is that an iPad?
I know it's Crestron. It says it on
it. It is. Oh, it's a Crestron.
It's good. Mind. It'll be good when it all gets hooked up to the lighting and the pool jacuzzi and, you know, all that stuff. It'll be awesome. But still,
you will be
takes
able to. You will be
a little bit of.
And
time.
Then, as soon as you figure it out, guess who? Sonny and his idiot friends will start pushing shit, and then everything will go okay.
I cannot wait. Anyway, I'll just file that under my insane conversations. It's always weird to me where I go. See, I assume everything's for a reason. So I go yellow, white, yellows. Pool heater's on. Yellow is heating system's on. White is it's off. I go, that seems that's a bad design. That's a flaw in the system. It should be a different color. And then Ed does the part of life that always surprises me, where he goes, oh, we make it any color we want.
Well, that's why he's AVN.
Oh, well, why don't you do it? And then he goes, well, I don't know. What you can't tell? Like, it's weird.
Does he have one of these in his home?
No. Please.
He would never do this.
No, I love AV Ed, but listen, AV Ed, if you're listening, you tell your guy every single goddamn house he does, do the red and do the blue and do the red.
Well, you could have AV Ed sell it to the new homeowners and say, well, you could have the, you know, the logical setting, which is the Corolla setting, and then you would run through the
colors. I'm also dumbfounded that people who do this for a living walk away from it with that.
Nobody cares.
With that. I don't know how it works.
I don't think people care.
I don't know how anything works anymore. But either way, I'm wildly satisfied with my red heat and my blue
cool. Do you have
cool.
heat in your jacuzzi?
It's,
you don't know.
We're working on it. Yeah. We're working on it.
All right.
So
Let me hear your hot, sexy tile talk.
Hot tile talk. Hot tile talk.
Do we have some kind of like stinger or some kind of music that could introduce hot tile talk?
I could take a clip of you meowing.
Meow.
There you go.
There it is.
I am fit to be tied when it comes to my tile woes.
Why? What happened?
I got tile woes.
Do tell, young man.
I got woes in the tile department.
Yeah, you do. Let's hear it, baby doll.
All right. First, let me tell you about Danner Boots. Born from logging and exploration, Danner's a Pacific Northwest original. Every boot is handmade to hold up in unforgiving conditions. The Stronghold work boot. 85 years of legendary quality and durability meets modern construction in technology and materials. This thing is handsome. This thing is durable. This thing will, it looks as...
It's hybrid between fashion and function.
You could be in a logging camp. You could be on the runway in Milan in this bad boy. Today's classic, tomorrow's classic today. That's what I wanted to say. Or today's classic tomorrow. Yeah. Either way, the Stronghold work boot, you can find your local Danner store at Danner. These things are handsome. Danner, and they're comfortable. Danner, D-A-N-N-E-R, Danner.com. All right, man, tile woes.
Yeah, what?
I'm working with glass tile.
You're going over the backsplash.
For the first time ever.
Yeah.
And
it ain't easy.
I had no idea.
You gotta smooth those cuts with a grinder of some sort.
Yeah, but I thought. Well, first cut, I just had an outlet in the middle of one of them, and I was like, I'm just gonna drop in my grinder with my diamond blade. It's like boom, whole tile just busts in half.
Yeah,
I get out the wet saw,
and you have to have a different blade for glass.
Oh my God. It is.
Yeah, a thinner blade. Actually.
I start to cut the thing that just cracked right in half.
I know it, man. It's not easy. God. It's why you charge a little more money when you install the glass.
Oh, man. Yeah. Do you ever?
Yeah, because each cut, you got to come back with some sort of sander. And then once you sand it, if you don't polish it, the sanding looks dull and matte if you've got gloss, and then it really reads.
Yeah, how do you polish it?
You get a polisher, man, just like you would polish granite. You know, you use those different pads. It's a pain in the ass, I'm telling you.
What about drilling holes in it?
Ooh, slow, tons of water.
Do you do the little putty moat where you get the little putty and you make a little moat around your hole and then fill it with water?
I haven't done that, but that's a great idea. But I just have constant sprayer, Hudson spray or something going, even a hose, you know, be outside with it, you know, and just keep water on it.
I guess the smaller the hole, the easier, right?
Correct.
Yeah, because I'm now, you can't have sharp corners. I realize you have to drill four holes if you want to go around an outlet, you got to cut in between the holes.
Right.
Stuff is so brittle.
It's brittle and it's tough to work with. And, you know, sometimes I've gone to glass guys to drill really intense holes. Like if you go to a glass shop, they'll be able to do it for you way easier. And it's worth the trip.
Trying to work that out. Heard something about a laser.
Yeah. Where they can cut it that way and etch it,
Anyway,
not easy. But it's gonna look nice.
It's gonna look nice, but geez, Louise, it is. I mean, I literally never work with a tile where I had the water going. I got the diamond blade going. I got the right angle grinder going, and I'm just dropping it in to do a cut. And whole tile bust.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
It's crazy.
I know. Now the other thing to do is to do your whole layout and put a temp around your outlet so that this tile doesn't sag, and then just take those pieces that you mark with a wax pencil somewhere else.
I've already worked. I've already been going around the outlet.
All right, good.
And
for God's sakes, don't screw your electrical outlet back on the glass too tight because it will crack that cut.
Oh, goddamn. Very, very brittle stuff.
Yeah.
The dangers of the lunch truck, people.
Which one? Here?
Well, I have this thing where I have an employee or two carrying around a couple extra LBs, you know?
Ooh.
And sometimes I'll pull up about 9:45, 9:50, and the lunch truck has gotten smart Lunch Truck has figured out that people like breakfast burritos and they like donuts and they like churros all day long.
Right.
So the Lunch Truck used to pull in at lunch.
Right.
Now the Lunch Truck pulls in at 10.
Mid-morning.
And at lunch.
Yeah.
And I see my guy who's got a couple extra LBs on him.
Uh-oh.
He got to work at 8:45.
Knowing.
It's now 9:45 and he's heading out to eat.
Well, yeah, it gives you another hour off.
Well, my thing is like, you kind of only been here for an hour. Like, I don't know if you've worked up an appetite yet, but I would suggest some scrambled eggs back at the Casa.
Something lean.
And then roll in
and
then say, you know, eat lunch when the lunch truck comes out.
Not the mid-morning truck, the lunch truck.
It's also kind of means you've been working for a whole hour, 9 minutes before you knock off.
Well, and then you can't forget the restroom break between the breakfast and you got to evacuate your bowels before you get the mid-morning.
When I used to do construction, I think they had invented the mid-morning swing by, but that was – look, here's the deal. We started at 7 – we were rolled out by 7 a.m.
Right.
If that truck rolled in at 10, you'd had 3 hours under your belt before your donut. If you're starting at 8:30, 8:45, and the truck rolls around at 9:45, you haven't put as much distance between you.
But you sure get to know those folks. They're nice back there, the ones that make your lunch truck.
I think it can work. I got to tell you, you know when they talk about stuff like they go like, oh, man, I was camping and the bear ate our food and I had to walk all the way back to the thing.
Yeah.
And I stopped along a roadside and there was an apple cart. I had an apple. That apple never tasted so good. Like, I never tasted so good. You know when they do that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Back when I was poor and that lunch truck would come by, and you'd get like a breakfast sandwich, like an egg sandwich with bacon on it. And
best thing you ever had
or whatever.
In your life.
Like, you're just sitting on a pile of drywall.
That's it.
It just never tasted
so
that good.
Food was never better.
Now
you get abundance and you get anything you want at any time. It's like, this is awful. This caviar is awful. I hate this crap. God, I wish I had the bacon.
I used to screw myself because I was like a bachelor. And I was just living in a little apartment.
What's the longest you went without a relationship?
Like, you mean as an adult?
Yeah, as an adult. Like the longest distance between two relationships.
I don't know. I mean, a long time. I was no Stromer. I was a loser. I wasn't having people beg me to model and things like that. I mean, I would go... I felt like I'd have like 2 year long dry spells and stuff. Like I didn't, you know, I could probably chart it out one of these days, but it seemed like long periods of time with just no lady friend. I was poor.
Yeah.
I was living in an apartment, with roommates.
Yeah.
I had like a beat up pickup truck.
But with a heart of gold, obviously, that's the tagline.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I do lament, you know, I think I look back on that period of time.
That you didn't take advantage of more ladies is where you're going?
Here's what I say, I look at myself as a guy who had no game, but I did once meet somehow by happenstance, two beautiful models. I don't know how it worked. I seem to recall having someone invite me to go bowling or something at some Korean bowling place in Koreatown.
Yeah.
And there was two beautiful models. Very different. One like a very beautiful blonde and the other a brunette. They're very different.
Yeah.
But they're both models. And I was like, and the guy was like a friend and we just bowled. And they're both like way out of my league. But I ended up dating both of them eventually at some point.
You mean not at the same time, though?
No, but eventually I did. And so I have to look back on that as an achievement,
yeah.
You know, and kind of go, well, that's something.
That is.
That counts.
Heck yeah, it does. That's like
neither one of them liked me. Like during the time we were dating, but
so
it
basically,
still counts.
Basically, you were holding women hostage.
They were like, I don't know. They were like, it was like.
But wait,
them,
what?
It was like,
what defined that they were models? Is it that what defines when someone says they're a model? Is it that they make an independent living from that one source, or they have stood in front of a camera and earned income once or twice?
They were both. They both did that for a living.
Yeah.
There was one who passed away.
And, what?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Something tragic later in life. But her name was Beth Teagarden. You can,
look her up. Look her up, Jerry. Quick, for God's sake.
Passed away.
No.
Semi-recently. Sadly, so I'd heard, but she was like a B actress,
sure.
and a model, and I don't want to say B actress. She did like some of those schlocky horror films,
yeah.
and stuff of that nature. But that she was that's what she did.
She is.
That's what her thing was.
Wow, she's very attractive.
Yeah, she's like
I might go as far as to even say fetching.
Well. That's part of being a model.
Yeah.
I think you have to be good looking.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, but I don't think she didn't really like me, but we still dated for a little while, you know.
And what happened to the other one?
The other one's still alive. And I think she moved out of town or something. She was sort of mean.
She was?
Yeah. But either way, I had to have some semblance of a game.
Well, you did. That's a good indicator.
But it just never felt right. I mean, I never felt like I had any game. I had low self-esteem.
Did you pick her up? Did you pick her up in the pickup?
I was driving. I do remember this.
Yeah.
I was driving at the time. I think I had an Isuzu Trooper, which
yes.
was like a beat on
the tall one, like it looks like a Jeep almost with a hard top.
Yeah,
yeah.
My roommate Ralph's grandmother passed away, and he got like a cherry, like pristine brown Dodge Shadow.
Ooh, is that the date car?
I think I borrowed his grandmother's car. Hence the game part. You know what I mean?
And with that car, you'd want insurance, speaking of which, Geico.
Oh, well, there
everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk. How about save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's an amazing thing. Extra money in your pocket. You bet. Geico.com. Insurance, obviously, you had to have it for the brown date car. It's the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Geico.com.
Honestly, Gary, if you pull up, like, it
let me
must
see that
have been
car.
Like a 1990 Dodge Shadow or something. It's like cloth interior,
this
brown.
This could be the indicator of why you feel no one liked you at this time.
She had like, you know, rich producer guys, you know, pulling up in Jags.
Yeah, but
and,
she saw something in you. She saw it. Oh, God. That's terrible. That's like the least attractive car, second only to the Pacer.
You got to understand, though, when you drive a pickup truck for a living, and not today's pickup truck with the leather and the crew cabs and all this stuff.
There's no way to clean it.
When you're driving miniature, crappy, Japanese pickup trucks,
right.
When you're driving that for a living,
right.
And it's date night, and somebody just lets you borrow their Dodge Shadow or their Scirocco or whatever the hell it is, VW, anything. The notion that it just doesn't have a bed behind it
is a big upgrade.
Or it's not a bench seat.
Yeah.
Like that it's an actual vehicle that's not meant for a farm.
Yes.
That
agricar
in itself is an upgrade.
You're
for
right.
the ace
You're
man.
100% right. Well, yes. It worked out. It worked out.
It all worked
God
out.
God bless America.
It didn't work out as well for Beth, but But no. It worked. It all R. worked P. out. Beth. It all worked yeah. out. Yes, she shall be missed.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. We got a call up here. Nick, 40, Philadelphia.
Hey, Ace Man, what's going on?
What's going on?
Hey, buddy. Hey, got a home improvement question for you. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm really bad with home improvement so much as when I was changing a ceiling fan a few years back, I actually didn't know, and I actually cut a wire with scissors to get it down. So I am really bad with home improvement. I shocked the whole house.
All right.
So I had a minor flood in my kitchen, had some hardwood down, probably about 30 gallons of water all over the place. Mm-hmm. Able to get it sucked up, get it dried out, but I don't see any buckling effects. But my wife wants to replace all the floors, and it's a huge area. Do you think it needs to be done, or do you think there's mold under there, or do you think it's something I could just leave at this point?
It's hardwood, TNG, old, thrown through?
Hardwood laminate, like the cheap stuff.
Oh, okay. So it's the cheap stuff. And yeah. is it glued down, nailed down, snapped together, floating.
Snapped together.
And can you match it and get the same stuff again?
I can. It's about 10 years old.
Yeah.
It doesn't look bad. I'm just worried more about the mold area.
Are you on a subfloor or a slab?
I'm on a subfloor.
Okay.
And there's a barrier under the floor that's a waterproof barrier, vapor. Moisture barrier?
Yeah, it's whatever was stuck to the bottom of the floor. I don't know what it is.
How big is the actual spot that the whole kitchen?
Like a 3x3 spot.
And you know, the thing about mold is people are all nuts about it, but
oh, they're crazy.
I don't know. I've lived in old houses my whole life. I've lived in old garages. I've lived in old apartments. Like I don't know. It's like I don't know. How, you know, mold wasn't invented in 1994. Mold's the right. oldest. The oldest thing on the planet is mold. Mold predates any of us or any creatures.
The danger to mold is from drywall is the ultimate mold growing medium. So coming onto a floor surface or plywood to me wouldn't indicate it'd be an issue. I would just take up the floor and put a fan on it for a couple of days. Try and lift up that subfloor, you know, lift up that the engineered floor and maybe put like a small paint can under it if you can to hold it up and blow air in there for a couple of days, and I think you'll be fine.
Talk about like
I'll try that, man. I appreciate that. Well, like if I get an endorsement from you, the wife will probably go for it.
Well, you know, they have these little squirrel fans now, like the smaller version. You can get them at Home Depot. It used to be like an industrial item. You know, now you can get the little ones that blow out the bottom.
Yeah, right.
You know,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So go get one of the. They have the ones that are like, I don't know, they're 10 inches wide.
Almost looks like a snail, right?
Yeah, shape. Yeah. Right, and they have these little orange ones with a little handle on it, and they work real good.
Yep.
And they come shooting out the bottom, so it's good for the low boy stuff.
Yep.
And you could prop the thing up, and you could spray some bleach or something like that, or vinegar or something to kill it, whatever. Go look on the internet, and then just blow it and make sure it was all dried out, and then we'll go your route.
That works, man. I appreciate it, Ace Man.
Thanks, man. That was Stromer's idea. I'm going to give credit where credit's
due,
man.
You know,
man.
It's a team. I don't give a rat's ass. Come on.
Goddamn glass tile, man. It's breaking my heart.
I know. But, you know, and you did decide to go over the existing backsplash, right?
I did.
And it's working.
I did. I had to chisel one off and it after a few days, and it was on.
And you – and are these brick size, 2x3x6? Or
no, they're – 6x12, or there's some metric version of it, which means they're a little bit smaller.
Yeah, so you do have to cut the center of a lot of them when it comes to the electrical box. That's the problem.
You know, it's weird. I went and did a little survey this morning, and as it turns out, there's four outlets. Only one do I need to get the middle out of. The other are sort of horseshoe shaped. You know, they go half on this and half on that. Now, that's a little easier because you can run the two ways through the table saw. Then you just have to get that little cross cut going. I think I would drill a hole first.
Here's what
and
I
then do it.
Well, what I would do is I would cut both outside lines deep into the tile. And then as you're cutting it, look at me, Ace. you lift the tile up that way,
right,
so that
right.
you go straight into
the round of the blade.
Correct.
Right.
And then you come back and go, and you just score it by holding it under the blade freehand.
Yeah. Yep.
Score a line into those two edges that you've cut the line into.
Right.
Then you've got a snap point.
Right.
So when you come in and it does snap, it'll have a tendency to go on that line.
Like yeah.
Like a you know cement.
Yeah, I did do that
right.
move already,
right.
and I did score it. The problem is you know when you do the 2 inches across with the 10-inch blade and
yeah.
you're doing the sort of cross cut freehand,
yeah.
you just don't really get that much area covered.
You're right,
but you can go past your cut a little because you're going to put a switch plate cover
on
there.
As long as you allowed for that, or get an oversized plate to cover a mistake, yeah.
I should just get a plate that's like 9 foot by 4 foot, yeah. just put an entire plate yeah. on there.
Like a stop sign size.
That's right.
There you go.
All right. We got a vid question, a tweet. What do we got, Gary?
Oh, well, this is the voice of Matt.
Oh, Matt.
But, you know, we work together on this. We're a team.
yeah.
I don't want to discount
look at you. Here. Look at your team building. Look at this. See the positivity here?
He was on a roll with this whole being outraged at this Crestron stuff, so I just felt like
it's true.
I got a video question if it'll make you feel better talk
Gary.
To me.
I do. I'd prefer Gary.
All right.
I'm just going to say this one out.
All right, here we go.
Hey, fellas, get it on. Ace and Stromer, love you guys. Thanks again for the advice on the crown molding a couple weeks ago. However, by the time I got the advice, I'd already taken it all down.
Oh, sure.
It was old and kind of gungy looking, so I'm going to patch that up.
He had the plaster. And,
yeah, the rounds, right? Yeah.
Cove.
Anyway, I have a question about this.
We're looking
so
at
this
house.
Is,
he's doing some work.
The kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be taking this wall out. It is load-bearing. I've got engineering on it, and they've got they've given me instructions on how to replace the wall with what beam and blah 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 whatever. So I'm going to open concept. My question is, it's a little off center. I don't know if you can see. So I'm standing at the front door right now, and I'll give you a little scan. Living room, and then kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take this wall down, and I'm thinking about putting an island right here where the wall is. However, because my eye tends to go towards symmetry, I like to have the island right in the center of the kitchen. So the kitchen here, mm-hmm. right? And then...
I can smell it.
The island would be a little off center.
Wallpaper left up there.
Would you put an island in? Would you maybe just put a half wall just to keep it open, or a picture window or something? Or would you put the island in? I'm curious.
I think it's too small.
Your thoughts... Thanks again for all your help, guys.
You know,
appreciate it.
Grandma Helen, my grandmother, back in the day, had something that she was in love with in her crappy little North Hollywood
house. That wallpaper reminded you of Grandma Helen's house,
didn't it? Probably
did. Yeah.
She was sort of nuts with the wallpaper, but she had something, and I'm just throwing this out there. Mm. And no one else had it. She had it. Kind of liked it. It's called a pass-through.
Yeah.
She had like a area, almost like a restaurant, that
sure.
like if you're in the kitchen and you made a plate, you could set it up on the shelf
yeah.
and it would go, you know, if you're in the dining room, you go, thanks, and
yeah.
sit down.
That's right.
It was kind of an interesting little detail.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it necessarily applies here, but there's something kind of interesting about a pass-through. I know people are doing bars and islands and stuff like that.
Right.
And everyone has this sense of, like, do we want to open a kitchen? Do we want to completely open to the house? Do we want to close? Whatever it is. Sometimes a pass-through is a compromise between an open kitchen mm-hmm. and still having lower counter space, you know, below it.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I like it. I mean, look, I think I remember that this was an investment and he was going to either flip it or rent it or something.
And if he's going to do that,
it feels like... You know, make that instead of putting an island in that kitchen, make it either pass through or a bar with a counter where you can actually have it as a dining area.
I will tell everyone this as well.
What?
Do not make your decisions. Shake that etch a sketch and then work on your drawing.
Yeah.
Get all the studs out of there. Put your big beam, your big glue lamp up.
Yeah.
Get everything out. clear
then,
it all
and
out.
And then decide.
And then you literally take, like, oh, I'll take a couple of big ice coolers and put a piece of plywood over the top of it and set it where I'd like the island. Yeah. And then you do the thing where you, like, walk in the front door and walk past the island. I'm going to try to walk to the kitchen. Good and idea. Then you go, oh, we should make it a little smaller. We should move it over here. Yeah. What would it look like? I mean, all you need is some cardboard boxes and an old hollow core door that you blew out, and you set it on top of it. And, you know, if you want, cut 2 foot off the hollow core door and set it back on there. And then have you and your wife walk in and see how that thing lays out.
Because most people can't read plan view blueprints, so this is a good idea. Physically,
but clear everything out first.
Yep.
Put in your glue lam header and your post and pick up the load and do all that stuff. Clear it all out, get it all cleared out, and then start mocking it up and moving it around.
Very good idea.
All right, let me tell you about Scott's Turf Builder. Easy to get the lawn of your dreams by simply feeding your lawn a few times throughout the year. Feed your lawn 4 times a year for a thick, green, and lush lawn. Help to crowd out pesky weeds by creating a greener, stronger, more resilient lawn. Scott's, no quibble, money back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, you get your money back once in early spring, and then late spring, and then summer and fall for a greener, stronger lawn all year long. You want to be the envy of your neighborhood? Start your Scott's Turf Builder program today. This is a Scott's yard. I tell you, man, I use this stuff. My neighbors use this stuff, or they must be using this stuff because I got some nice lawns in my neighborhood, man. So Scott's Turf Builder. All right, let's see. Wants to know how to stop leaking in his shower head piping. Let's talk to Brian, 36, Minneapolis. Brian?
Hey, Stromer. How are you guys doing? Hey.
Yeah, man. What's going on?
Good. Moving into a new apartment building here in the next couple of weeks, and we went in, tested out everything, and we turn on the bathtub, and there's leaking simultaneously coming through the bathtub spout itself, and then subsequently the shower head. And I want to know specifically if there's some special sealant I need to use, you know, once I screw in the new shower head, whatever it might be, or if I need to actually go in there and the piping behind the wall. And what's going on with that? And I'm a complete novice on it. So
it's the stems of the faucet, probably.
Wait, right? do you have one of those bathtubs where you pull the plunger and it fires up, comes out of the shower head? Are they connected?
No, it's a knob. I twist the knob clockwise or counterclockwise, rather, and then it, you know, clicks somehow, and then it goes to the shower head.
Right, but you don't
it's not a plunger though.
No, but it's not one of those moves. You guys know what I'm talking about. You turn the knob and it starts coming out of the tub
spigot,
and then you hit the diverter and it comes out of the shower head. Is that how it works or no?
The diverter itself is a knob. It's in a knob just like the hot and cold knobs. It's in the center.
Yeah, you turn it. Oh, it's like a fancy valve. Okay. I think your valve is blown in you.
Seems like something's going on with the diverter.
Yeah.
Right?
Or the valve just needs to be replaced.
Describe the problem one more time.
Okay, so I turn on the hot water or cold water, whichever it is. Water kind of comes out of the bathtub spout, but then it also comes out of, you know, underneath the spout, through the spout, all around the spout. And then I hit the diverter to move it up to the shower head, and then it also leaks out of the, you know, the rod attached to the shower head. At the same time, it's still coming out of the bathtub spout itself.
Right.
So
all right.
When I hit the diverter, then it comes out of both.
Right. So it's not, the diverter is not diverting.
Correct.
Right?
Not completely, no.
Right.
It does to the point where there is enough pressure, but it is still leaking out of
I get it. That's bound to happen. The part where it's leaking out around everything seems like a separate issue to me. What's on the wall, tile?
Yes.
And how old is the house?
I don't know. It's an apartment building. I would guess 60s, late 60s, roughly, just by the looks of it.
Is it up? Oh, but you're buying the building?
No. Just moving into a unit in the apartment.
Oh, all right.
In the apartment building.
Can you have the landlord guy tell him about this? pretend like you're concerned. Yeah. Do you have anyone who lives underneath you?
Yeah, we're on the top floor.
Good.
And there's two floors under.
Feign concern for the elderly couple under you.
Yeah, and the horrible mold that will grow if it doesn't get fixed, and the lawsuits that will happen. And then he'll jump to
a systemic problem.
What's that?
It sounds like a systemic problem. It's going to affect
systemic.
Everyone around.
Well, you tell him it's problematic. It's systemic, and you find it problematic.
I like it.
Problematic.
Okay. Systemic and problematic. This is why you're an outlaw.
That's right. Tell him it's a systemic problematic, and you're deeply saddened and concerned.
And concerned, yeah. And you've spent time with Mark Garagos, I see. Lawyer great, Mark Garagos.
Everyone hates Mark Garagos. He doesn't care.
That's right.
You know what he does when people criticize him? He takes $100 bills and he stuffs them in his ears.
Yeah, exactly.
So he can't hear all of it.
That's right.
That's what he does.
That's all he has to do.
Takes $100 bills. Uh-huh. God damn. That Colin Kaepernick. It's ingenious. The ingenious thing is he'll never go on a talk show. He'll never release a statement. He'll never do anything.
Nope.
And no matter what people think of him or what the media would like to do with him, they can't do anything with him because he never says a word.
Exactly.
That guy just robbed a Brinks truck and no one says a word.
Yeah.
And people, you got to learn that. Don't have press conference. If you're Kathy Griffin, don't have a press conference. Just let it go.
Give yourself away. That's right.
How much crap do you hear about Jussie Smollett versus Colin Kaepernick?
Right,
it's a power move to sign on to Jussie's team 3 days on the heel of the icon of the black community winning his case with your stewardship. It's a power move.
He likes it.
He does.
He likes it. He
in both cases, he's trying to look out for a notable person to make sure they get a fair shake.
Yeah. All right. Let me tell you about Tommy John.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Men, women, they love themselves some Tommy John. I literally go in the swimming pool with my Tommy Johns. I get out. I hang them on my shower diverter.
That doesn't leak.
That doesn't leak. And then I get into a fresh set of Tommy Johns.
You just walk back.
And I wear those for the day.
Right.
And then the next day, I sleep in my Tommy Johns. The next day, I hit the pool in the Tommy Johns I went to bed in.
That's right.
And pull the ones off the diverter that are now dry and clean enough for me. They did two laps in a pool.
They could have been dry 5 minutes later, but
you
wait.
Oh, they would have.
Yeah.
They would have been. Both men's and women's underwear, they got the no wedgie guarantee. The stuff is the best. The dress shirts, the stay tucked in dress shirts. I went and did Kimmel a few weeks ago. I put the stay
I didn't sense any wrinkling whatsoever.
No wrinkling whatsoever.
No.
I'm wearing the undershirt now, the t-shirts. It's all there. And they have a new air collection for the ladies as well. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free guarantee, right, Matt?
That's right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now. Get your 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
I got my stand-up special out there.
What's the latest?
I should invite you Sunday. That is what? Tomorrow as we talk about this? We're doing a showing in Hollywood. Oh, someone will find out the name. It's Cine Lounge, I think it is.
That is correct.
In like the CNN building. Sunday at about, I think it was about 6:15 was the time. Anyway, Stromer, an invite for you if you'd like to come see Not Taco Bell Material, my stand-up special. And you can get it at Chassis, 2S&Y.com, or you can go to iTunes and get it. Give it a review, and it's playing at theaters around the country at tug.com, so check that out. We got the Salute the Troops comedy show. That is coming up on the 22nd through the 24th.
That's big, man. That's nice that you're doing that.
It's all about the troops.
Yeah, it is.
Pomona.
That's some Bob Hope business right there.
Yeah. That's. I think of myself more as Joey Heatherton.
I loved her, man.
Well,
who looks better in a shimmy skirt short dress than Joey Heatherton?
That's what I'll be wearing. I'll be up there with Rob Riggle.
Man.
You got Adam Carolla is unprepared, by the way. Lots of shows The San Francisco's coming up, Sacramento, Brea, Denver, all blah, blah, blah. Go to amcroll.com with the live dates and say hi to RJ Bell in his dream preview. Podcast one. What do you got, Stromer?
Well, I'm taking the kid out to the Mamba Academy for a tournament. My daughter, Willow, she'll be playing in the 12U.
Uh-huh.
Gold division girls basketball.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
And then I'll wear, they let you use the compression pants out there for $10 for 20 minutes. You put those pants on, it blows the air and gives you the massage.
Oh, really?
What could be better?
Yeah, my daughter hit me with the, our tournament is Sunday at Laguna.
Ooh.
And, well, I have to be on the court at 7 a.m.
That's right.
So we should just get a hotel. I'm yeah. like, are you kidding? Yeah. You think parents are supposed to quit their jobs and devote their life to their girls' volleyball team?
Yes, you'll do it. I guarantee you. Somehow you'll be there in a fancy resort.
I'm not going.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I'm holding out. All right, so until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.